So our first passage of scripture we read from Psalm 103, some of the words we've just finished singing. Let's turn to Psalm 103. We read verses 20, 21, and 22. The words of the psalm writer David, 103 at verse 20. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then we turn ahead to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John. A few verses from John 14, and then also from John 15. First to John 14, we read verses 15 through 17, where the Lord Jesus teaches us, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And then to chapter 15, reading at verse 12 to 14. Where our Lord continues, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you." And then we read from Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 18. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, chapter 2, verse 12. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and a twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain nor labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me." So far from Holy Scripture, and then let us turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, to Lord's Day 49, the back of our hymnals. You can find that on page 895. Page 895, considering Lord's Day 49, the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. And this, too, we confess as part of our Reformed faith. What does the third petition mean? "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven" means, help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any backtalk to obey your will, for it alone is good. Help everyone carry out his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. So far we read and also confess. Congregation, beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, we use that title, that small title, Lord, when we talk about Jesus and when we talk about Christ. We confess and we say, the Lord Jesus Christ. That word Lord is extremely important, of course. It is a word that tells us that he is our master, that he is over us, that he is our supreme ruler, that he's our protector, he's our life giver. He indeed is our gracious God. He, in effect, owns us. Say, we are his. We are members of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, we say. And though it is the kingdom of God, our Father, to be sure, we know that kingdom was established in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, thus making him our Lord. So if there's anyone who has the privilege and the authority to tell us what to do, how to live, how to speak, how to pray, why, it's him, because he is our Lord, our Savior. And he teaches us indeed how we ought to pray. And as we consider this third petition, we realize this comes straight from the heart of Jesus, who wants his children to pray, in essence, correctly and rightly, bringing before him all our needs. And so we consider this afternoon, congregation, this third petition, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is to say, the will of God our Father, the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of course, the will of the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. We can read that in Matthew 6 and in Luke 11. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And let us see first the sum and the substance of this third petition. Again, going to our catechism, it explains, what does a third petition mean? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It means help us and all people to renounce our own wills without any back talk, to obey your will, for it alone is good. See how much this petition is all about who our Lord is, who really is your master, who really calls the shots in your life, who is the one that you say, yes, he is my authority. Whom do you serve? We remember the words of Joshua at the end of his life when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. I trust you can make the same kind of confession as well, that Christ indeed is your Lord. And this is a very important thing to never lose sight of. And in particular, when we gather together as people to worship the Lord on the Lord's Day, we speak about being committed to him, and we are actually serving him as we worship. That's why we call it a worship service. We are serving him. We are devoting our lives to him. And isn't that not the sum and the substance of what our faith really looks like and what our faith is? We think, for example, of this one commentator on the Heidelberg Catechism, G.I. Williamson, and he has this to say. Here he says, right here we see how God's kingdom comes. As believers are brought by the Spirit and the Word of God to the obedience of faith. You've perhaps heard that expression before, the obedience of faith. That is to say, our faith has much substance to it, and one of the things that our faith has is obedience to Christ. Him having delivered us from all our sins, our obedience comes as a result of our faith. Otherwise, our faith might even prove to be somewhat empty or lacking in substance. We remember that James says, faith without works is dead. Well, here are the works, congregation, of our faith, even what Jesus taught us to pray. And this is what we need, not only to pray, but to do. Your will be done means this. Help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any back talk obey your will, for it alone is good. The two key words in the answer, first the words renounce, and then there's that word obey. as if to say, this is the kind of thing I may not do. I must renounce. I must reject it. And this is what I'm called to do. This is what I must do. This is what I must obey. What God tells me to do. If Jesus is my Lord, if God is my Father, if it is the Spirit who is dwelling in me, then this is what I must, this is what I'm called to do as a Christian. I must, without any backtalk, do their will, for it alone is good. And we need to be continually reminded of this, congregation, because how often don't we simply think about our own will, what I want to do with my life? I want to live it in this way and this way to satisfy this desire and to fulfill that ambition. I want to do these things in my life. I will tell myself what my life ought to look like. And if it agrees with God's will, well, that's great, that's fine, but it's got to meet my approval. Remember, I call the shots in my own life. And to that, of course, we say no, period. And so, congregation, our default position is to think about our own selves and doing our own will. And then when we hear this kind of a commandment from Jesus, saying and praying, thy will be done, we need something to back that up, so to speak. We need a commandment of Jesus that makes this third petition all the more forceful and real and necessary in our life. We need a commandment like we hear in John 14 and verse 15, where Jesus teaches us. And he says, if you love me, notice the word if you love me, keep my commandments. Doesn't that illustrate the lordship of Jesus Christ when he says, if you love me, keep my commandments? That's an order from Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that backs up what he is saying when he teaches us the third command, third prayer, third petition, pray in this way, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you love me, this is what you will do. The will of the Father, the will of the Lord, my God. Not my will, O God, but yours be done. How so? On earth, as it is in heaven. And Jesus reinforces this commandment in John 14 by what he further teaches us in chapter 15 at verse 14, where Jesus adds, he says, you are my friends if, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Congregation, are you all friends of Jesus Christ? A friend of Jesus your Lord? I trust and I pray you are. What do friends do for Jesus? Well, they keep his commandments, don't they? And what does that show? That he's also your Lord. Not only your friend, but also your Lord. Again, verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. But how did Jesus first begin to show his friendship to you? To you. And I'm going on the premise that he is your friend. And he did that in this way. In verse 12, we read, this is a commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lays down his life for his friends. Jesus is calling us his friends as he, in the process of laying down his life for his people, for his friends. O congregation, we see what Jesus Christ has done. He's laid down his life for his friends. See how our Christian faith is not based upon what we have done, but what the Lord Jesus Christ himself has done first for us. He has laid down his life for his friends. He has befriended us. He has loved us first. And therefore, congregation, as we receive that love and friendship, as we are brought into his kingdom by his word and Holy Spirit, and by the fact that he laid down his life for us, does he not then have the authority to say and to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? You see, that's the obedience of faith that I spoke about a moment ago. The obedience of faith. It's kind of where the rubber hits the road in our Christian life, of doing the will of God. That's the sum and substance of the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. And it needs to be the sum and the substance, the stuff of our life. If you are my friends, you will obey what I command you. And what is it that God or Jesus all commands us? When he does say, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Well, I'm going to now give you a list of examples. For example, what should the will of God look like for children? For teenagers. Well, Jesus says in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the first commandment with a promise that it might be well with you." Well, kids, this is what the Lord is saying to you. This is how you are to pray and to think about when you pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Pray that you may honor your father and your mother. If you obey your mom and your dad, kids, then you are obeying Jesus Christ. And you're in the process of fulfilling this third petition, "Thy will be done." Well, how about servants or slaves or workers? What's God's will for you? Second example, Ephesians 6, 5, the apostle says, "Servants, be obedient to those who are your masters." There you go. Be obedient to your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. And so all you workers, when you obey your bosses at work, when you obey your superiors, you are really obeying Jesus Christ. You're really showing that he is your Lord and that he is your friend too, because he has befriended you by dying for your sins. And thus we fulfill that prayer, "Thy will be done." Another example, Roman soldiers came to Jesus one day and they said, "What shall we do?" And Jesus said to them, "Do not intimidate anyone. Do not accuse anyone falsely. And be content with your wages." That was God's will in a nutshell to Roman soldiers who were questioning him about what it means to follow Christ and know and do the will of God. And when those Roman soldiers lived in this kind of a way, they too were in the process of fulfilling this third commandment, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, at one time, tax collectors came to Jesus and they asked him too, "What is it that we should do?" And Jesus said, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you." And otherwise, don't be greedy. Don't be materialist. Don't go ripping people off because you think you can get away with it. This is my will for you. If you are serious about being a child of the kingdom of heaven, like Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector, if you're really serious about following me and loving the Lord and trusting in Christ, in me, then this is the kind of will of the Lord that you need to do. Repent of what you did in the past, and now carry out this instruction. And in so doing, again, you'll fulfill this third petition, thy will be done. Not the will of those crooked tax collectors, their will be done. No, but my will, says Jesus Christ. And that, of course, puts you under the lordship of Christ. Indeed, as the Catechism teaches us here, we need to renounce our wills without any kind of back talk, because your will alone is good. Well, congregation, another example. What is God's will for you as you live in the context of this congregation? Well, the Lord teaches us in Hebrews 13:17, submit to those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. In other words, submission to the eldership of the church, that is God's will for you as a congregation. And as you do that, brothers and sisters, you see, this is part of that fulfilling of this third petition, thy will be done in the church, in this very congregation, as you submit to the teaching of the elders, together with the minister and so forth, then you are doing the will of God. Well, what about you who are wives? What is God's will for you? The apostle there teaches, he says, wives, be submissive to your husbands as to the Lord. Another example, a very important aspect of your Christian life, if you are a wife, to fulfill the will of Christ. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. But going on, what's God's will for you, all you husbands out there? Paul says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. That's the kind of love, husbands, the kind of love you are to demonstrate towards your wife in the context of your home. Praying the prayer, thy will be done, has this kind of character to it, this kind of substance to our prayer. Our prayer really has a lot of meat and potatoes to it, so to speak. Substance, Christian living, things you can handle and touch, things you need to pray for, things you need to be doing. And again, it's because of the question. Jesus is your friend. Are you a friend of Jesus Christ? He says, greater love than this is one who lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Well, I'm going to give you one more example. What further is God's will for you as a congregation? I refer you to John 15, verse 12, where Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Think about that. As I have loved you, so you must love, really, seriously, truly, love one another. And tying that into the Catechism, which says we are to renounce our own wills, that means with regard to this example, we have within our nature, sad to say, often the thinking that we don't have to love everybody as much as we ought to. There's times when I just kind of feel like I'm in a grumpy mood. I'm not having a good day. I don't really feel like being all that kind or considerate to that person. He rubbed me the wrong way, I'm going to rub him the wrong way. And I don't need to be so kind to that person. The person's a bit of annoyance to me. And we can carry on with our day in a kind of a lousy way. Meanwhile, Jesus has given us a commandment, hasn't he? As I have loved you, so you love one another. There we renounce, say, we put to death, we reject this will of ours without any back talk, and we obey God's will because we confess it alone is good. See how this third petition impacts the way we carry on and even hang out with each other and engage in fellowship always with this command that God commands us, we are to love one another. Deliberately, intentionally, we make it a point. We remind ourselves we have to love each other. No excuses for not. But what does that kind of love for one another further look like? Well, as I was meditating on these things, I couldn't help but think again of the fruits of the Holy Spirit that Paul gives in Galatians 5, verse 22, where he makes a nice long list of those fruits. He begins with love, Top of the list, love, joy, and peace. If those fruits are in you as a Christian, and by God's grace they are, love and joy and peace, especially the latter two, if there's joy and peace in your heart with God and with your neighbor, isn't it easier to love that person as Christ commands? Yes, it is. Let's go down the list. Paul then speaks about long-suffering and kindness and goodness, fruits of the Spirit. Don't these three things have a lot to do with how we are to love one another, to be long-suffering and patient with somebody who just annoyed you, let's say, or someone rubbed you the wrong way? Then to still remember we have to show kindness and goodness. Paul goes on to say next about faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Beautiful fruits of the Spirit, they look so nice when they're written down on paper, but to actually put them into gear in your life. Because Jesus has commanded us, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. It means if you are a faithful man to your brother and a sister, you're true to your word, for example, and you have a spirit of gentleness. It doesn't come so easy to be gentle all the time or to be a man or a woman of self-control, and yet these are part and parcel of the stuff that makes us Christians by God's grace. And Paul says again, such there is no law. In this way, learn what it is to show love and then to deliberately work it out in your life. Something you need to be thinking about regularly. And doesn't all this teaching then, congregation, flow out of this commandment, if you love me, you will keep my commandments? And see how that meshes and supports this third petition where Jesus says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us and all men to renounce our own will and without any back talk to obey your will, for it alone is good. Now there we have that word backtalk in the catechism. It's not a very nice sounding word. It's a rather strong word. Backtalk is a translation out of the original Latin text of the Catechism going back to the 16th century. The original word was murmuring. We know how the Israelites, they murmured, how they grumbled against God in the wilderness. They ran out of water and they started to complain right away. God does not delight in murmuring. God delights instead in clean and wholehearted obedience and reverence and respect and love for Him, even when the going gets very tough. Even then, there's no excuse for backtalk and grumbling against God. But the very thing that Paul teaches the Philippians, chapter 2, verse 14, where he says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and a twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Do everything without grumbling, without murmuring, fault finding, but do it the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. Now here, congregation, we see again how much we need a Savior to wash us clean of all the grumbling we've done in our lifetime, all the disputing, even all the fault-finding at times, even with God. When things didn't go our way, how we need a Savior to be washed of all that sin, never mind all the rest, to be washed of all our complaining and grumbling and all our backtalk. And then we see, congregation, how poor and needy our hearts really are. Sinful creatures that we are. And then to think that Jesus was still of the mind to become our friend and to lay down his life for us still when we were such kind of folks, not good, grumblers and so forth, willful in our sinfulness. And yet he came to save us by his blood and Holy Spirit from such sin so that we would become a new kind of people, redeemed of the Lord and sanctified by the Spirit and filled with His grace and with the ability to say and to pray, "Not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Yes, really, I'm not kidding. This is the truth of God's word. Congregation, here we have a very serious petition, a very serious prayer for serious Christians, that we may show ourselves to the world, as Paul says, that we may show ourselves as those among whom you shine as lights in this world. When we manifest this love of Christ in the world to others, people are going to see something in you that's different, that's holy, something that's very good, very good. We're beginning to bear that image of Christ. We're beginning to bear that spirit and that standard of obedience that is far more than what we see in the world. And that brings us, secondly, to what is that spirit and the standard now for this third petition. First, we have the petition itself. "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven" means help us and all people to renounce our own wills without any backtalk, without any grumbling, to obey your will, for it alone is good. Now we might say, well, how so? Or in what way? The Catechism says, help everyone carry out his office and calling as willingly and as faithfully as, guess what? As the angels in heaven. The spirit of our obedience is willingness and faithfulness to God. And the standard of our obedience is like the angels in heaven. Talk about setting the bar high. Our God in heaven, because we are redeemed by his grace and new creatures in Christ, we are called to a high expectation, a holy expectation that's none other than the angels in heaven. Remember how the petition ends, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus doesn't say, thy will be done on earth as it is done on earth. We don't want to even go there, do we? For the will of God is surely not done on earth at all, if men is left to themselves. But we are to do the will of God as is done in heaven, in heaven. Not the best possible that we could think of on earth. No, far greater as the will of God in heaven. Now, where do we get that kind of willing and faithful spirit from? And how do we meet this standard of the angels? Well, only, of course, by the Holy Spirit. We could never fabricate this kind of character or spirit within ourselves. But Jesus doesn't leave us to our own resources here, congregation. Just as God tells us to, just as God spoke to the Philippians when he says that he began to work within them both to will and to do for his good pleasure, he began to work in them. That's where the divine help comes from. And where exactly? Well, as Jesus Christ himself teaches us when he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, the world cannot know, but you know him, for he is within you. That's where the help is, even within each one of us. And so as we reflect on these things, congregation, on that spirit and the standard, I cannot help but say, I sure need help too. I need a big helper in my life if I am to obey the will of God and to do it as faithfully and willingly as the angels in heaven. I sure need the Holy Spirit, you bet I do, to carry out my work, all that he's called me to do, and to do it willingly and faithfully. How often don't we do things with a grudging heart, and we really don't want to do it, we feel forced to do it, and we're kind of ticked off that we have to do it, and finally we do it, but it's not right, is it? Well, no matter what your spiritual calling in life, no matter what works you do as a believer, please keep in mind you're under the authority of God, you're under the lordship of Jesus Christ, who befriended you, who calls us all to that same standard, that same end. How are we going to do this kingdom work, this service in the church, this being nice to my neighbor when I go to work tomorrow? We need help. And Jesus promises the help of the Holy Spirit, whom I will give to you, he says. And then remember the angels in heaven. They did indeed set the standard and the spirit for obedience, and that's who Jesus points us to. They were God's servants, yes, and so are we. And so Paul can say, with that help that we have to do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God. We're thinking of the angels who also are blameless and innocent servants of God. So as we hear this will of God that we need to carry out, congregation, please think about the angels. Don't think about the lowest common denominator that you can be satisfied to say, well, that's good enough. That's my standard. I'm not going to do any better. No, then think about the angels. I guess we don't think about the angels near as much as we ought to think as Christians, but they are there for us. They are God's servants sent to minister to those who will inherit salvation, we read at the end of Hebrews chapter 1. Think about the angels. Well, what does the Bible say about them? Psalm 103, the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O you angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obey the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, you ministers of his who do his will." That word ministers doesn't refer to people like me, but to all of God's servants, whether they be angels or prophets or priests or kings or ministers today, or all of you within the office of believer, you ministers of his, you do his will. What does that standard look like? David says they bless the Lord. Something maybe we don't think about too much either. We serve the Lord, we love the Lord. Do we bless the Lord in our prayers, in our worship, as we simply go about our work and try and be the best man, the best woman I can within the context of my field of work, and try and love the people I'm working with and do my honest best to serve God, then I'm blessing the Lord as I live. He says, "You mighty ones who do his will, who obey the voice of his word." Those angels were noted for one thing in particular: the word of God that they heard, that they did. And of course, they did it perfectly. Now, of course, we're not perfect, but there's still that same standard to reach to aim to try to be as. And we have a helper, the Holy Spirit, that we should never lose sight of as well. And so, fulfilling the third petition of the Lord's Prayer by obeying the voice of the Lord. Now, I've talked to people in the past about these kinds of things, and, you know, colleagues or friends of mine many years gone by, and I've heard this refrain sometimes: "Well, I'm not an angel. Come on, don't be kidding. Don't kid me. I'm not an angel. I just am who I am." And people excuse their sinful behavior because they say, "Well, I'm not an angel. What do you expect? I'm just me. I'm just a sinful creature too. I ain't no angel." But congregation, when was the last time you thought about being more and more like the angels rather than the average person you've got to deal with here on this earth? So many are proud of the fact that they can live like devils. Live as they please. Who cares? And you can tell how they're living. They're motivated by their own selfish greed and wickedness and you name it. But as you go out to your work world this week to think about how can I be more and more like the angels in heaven who heard the voice of the Lord. They did his will. They excelled in strength. They heeded the voice of the Lord. They even blessed the Lord in all their working, in all their service. They did it when they were in heaven, and they would certainly carry it out if God would send them to earth and do his will there too. then they would as well. Well, congregation, how can we? Number one, remember your helper, the Holy Spirit. And to have a vital part of your prayer, when you pray your morning prayer, let's say, to pray especially for the Holy Spirit's guidance and strength and desire to do the will of the Lord today, come what may. And to be mindful, second, of remembering those holy angels. What a calling they had and what a service they had to fulfill. And they did it willingly. Remember the standard of the angels. And then remember one other person. Remember your friend. Yes, your friend who laid down his life for you. Jesus, what a friend of sinners. We started out singing at the beginning of the service. Jesus Christ, what a friend of sinners. He was, and he remains for each of you. Wow. Let us then gladly do what he commands. Because he's our Lord too, isn't he? Our Lord and our God, to whom we live joyfully and thankfully, praying as he taught, your will be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, you teach us great and wonderful things. And at times we would say, who am I to live in such a way or to do such a thing? We easily, Father, set pretty low standards for ourselves. And then we forget the power of him who lives within us, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, our friend, and our friend who told us to live even as the angels in heaven. Well, God, we pray, help us and keep us in this coming week to live for your glory and obedience unto thee, and for the good of ourselves and for all with whom we have to do. Yes, O God, keep us and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.